How about that, Lisa? It's not very difficult to do, but sometimes I like to make Lisa start doing this. It's pretty easy to accomplish. So, I'm going to tell you guys a story. And for you older ones, it's you guys are going to stay in the service to hear the rest of the story today. And the little ones, I guess, I'm assuming today is there's... And Julie will go have the little ones. So do you guys know the story of Daniel and the lion's den? Do you guys know that story? Do you know what book of the Bible that's found in? What? How about a wild guess? Where do you think the story of Daniel and the lion's den is found in the Bible? ZJ. Very good. That was a good guess. And it's Daniel chapter 6. So, Caleb, you got to get a little closer here. Stay with me, bud. So, do you know, though, the pre-story to the story? Is that when Daniel was just a boy, he was about Caleb's age, about Sam's age, about Benjamin's age, and he was captured by the Babylonians, and he was carried off away far from his home, and he didn't know it at the time, but never to return to his home. He was going to live in the great city of Babylon. And he had some trials through his life. He had to trust God. And all of his life was leading up to this. Hey, Max, I'm telling a story here, bud. Come on, that's rude not to listen. I thought about you when I was getting ready for this story. I thought you might like it. Will you listen? Okay. Okay. All right. So, here's Daniel. He's old. He's older than me, older than your parents, as old as some of your grandparents. He was 80 years old. Did you know Daniel was 80 years old when he faced the lions? 80 years old. But you see, he spent his whole life preparing. God was preparing him for that moment when he faced the lions. Here's how it happened. Daniel was old, as I said, about 80. And the king, who was not a very nice guy, a bad king of Babylon, he was throwing this big party. And he was saying bad things about God, and he was making fun of God and God's people. And it just so happens that about that time, that night, he's throwing this party, and the whole city is surrounded by an army. And he thinks there's no way that this bad army, the bad king, thinks there's another way this bad army, the other bad army is going to be able to capture him. And this army, they get in the river. There's a river that goes under the walls of the city and flows into the city. And the river was a little bit low that time of year. And some of the guys got in the river and some went over the wall. And they went in and they captured the city that night. And normally when they bad guys come and capture a city in those days, they would kill all the people that were in charge. Well, they didn't kill Daniel for some reason. And the new king took over, King Darius. And Darius really liked Daniel. You see, Daniel was this guy. He had this deep kind of joy, happiness. He had wisdom. And the king was drawn to Daniel. And the king loved Daniel. But there were these other... See, Daniel got put in charge over a lot of stuff. He was kind of an administrator over the whole city. And he did so well that these other guys were sort of jealous. They didn't like it. You ever felt like that? Somebody was doing something, they were doing really good and getting a lot of credit, and you kind of didn't like it? So you can kind of understand how these guys felt. But they did a very bad thing. See, they wanted to get rid of Daniel so they could be the ones in charge. So they told the king, and they shouldn't have done this, and the king shouldn't have done this either, but they told the king, King, why don't you... You see, they tried to find something bad about Daniel. And they couldn't find anything bad about Daniel that they were going to tattle on him. They were going to tell the king, Daniel's been doing all this bad stuff, king, and you should fire him. They couldn't think of anything. They couldn't find anything. He was a follower of God, Daniel. But so they made up this thing. They told the king, King, you make a law for 30 days that nobody can pray to any god except you. See, they did that back in those days. Sometimes they would kind of make the king sort of like a god, and they would pray to him. He knew he wasn't really a god, but they just kind of did that. So they made this law, and everybody had to pray only to the king for 30 days. Well, you see, they knew that Daniel prayed. In fact, Daniel had this thing he would do 3 times a day. He would leave the palace. He would go to his room. He would open the window. He would look toward his homeland, toward Jerusalem, and he would pray and cry out to God and talk to God. And he did it other times during the day, but 3 times a day. He was a busy, busy guy. He was over the whole city. But here he was. He took time out from that, and he would pray. And see, the bad guys knew that. And as soon as they told Daniel, as soon as he found out, he found out about this law, you know what the first thing he did? The law was, don't pray. Normally, Daniel followed the law. But this time he didn't, because it broke God's law. The first thing he did was he went and he prayed. And he asked God, what am I to do here, God? I love the king. I know the king loves me. And I like doing my job. But they've asked me to do that. You're the only God I can pray to. And you know, while he was praying, could you imagine this? He's praying and asking God to help him. And while he's praying, the bad guys bust through the door, tie him up, and drag him off to do something horrible. You see, they had this pit. And they would put into this pit the most ferocious, meanest, biggest, aggressive, hungry lions that they could round up. These were the bad boys of lions. And they would put them all together. And can you imagine? You throw all these lions into one hole, and they're probably fighting each other. And if you were to throw one bone down there, it would be gone. And they're hungry, and they're fighting, they're aggressive. And they drag Daniel out to that hole. And the night before, you see the king, they had this crazy law. And anytime the king made a law, nobody could change it, not even the king himself. So the law could not be changed. It wasn't going to be changed. But the king stayed up all night long. And normally the king, you see, he'd have people come and they would put on skits and play music and make him happy. And, you know, the king needs to be happy. So they would come and entertain him. And that night the king said, nobody comes. There's no songs, no music, no food. He didn't even eat. He was all night long. And he's thinking and he's writing and he's asking his advisor and he's saying, what are we going to do? How can I help Daniel? My friend Daniel is kind of my fault. And he's going, what am I going to do? Daniel, he's a good man. And he's old and he should not happen. He's a good, good man. And he prays to his God and he follows. This shouldn't happen. But it's going to happen. There's nothing he could do. So they take him out. Then they had this stone that covered the top of the hole. They dragged the stone away. Remember, what's in the pit?
Lions.
What kind of lions?
Ferocious.
And what else?
Mean.
And what else? They were mean. And they were probably hungry. And here comes Daniel. They're going to throw him in the... How do you think Daniel was feeling? You see, Daniel, it's not that he never worried. You see, he went and he turned to God. And he was worried. He was crying out to God, help me, God. But you see, once he cried out to God, and once... Something happened to Daniel. Daniel was ready. Come life or death, Daniel had peace in his heart. What? The king didn't want to, though. The bad guys that were pretending to be the king's friends are the ones that did it.
Wow.
Yeah. So Caleb, could you help us out and read this verse? I think this is how Daniel was feeling at that moment. Wait. Don't tell the end of the story. They're moving the rock. Okay. You're standing there. They're moving the rock. You're peeking down. It's kind of shadowy. There's growling going on. And those in the line, they're probably jumping up on the edge. They know the meal comes through the hole. They know that's where the meal comes from. They don't care what the meal is. Daniel's about to go down into that. Will you read this for us, Caleb?
You will paint a perfect king, whose mind was steadfast to judge a king. The Lord comes with
because he what? Look right here. That's good. Because what?
He will come with you.
He trusts in you. Good job, bud. Did you hear? Could you hear what Caleb said? What he was reading? It's from Isaiah 26:3. It says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." Can you imagine? You know what steadfast? Anybody? What does steadfast mean? What do you think that means? Anybody have just? What do you feel? What do you feel like that might mean? His mind steadfast. What does that mean? Is he doing like Lisa when I cut the sound off and she doesn't know what's going on? Is he, you think he's panicking?
No.
He should be. There's lions down there. But he's not. Because why? Did you see the verse Caleb read? Because why? He's trusting in God. He's trusting in God. When you trust in God, you see, he didn't know what the outcome was going to be. He trusted in God and God brought him peace. So they pull back the rock. They toss Daniel in. They toss Daniel in, and the king doesn't sleep all night again. Again, he doesn't sleep all night. And he comes out the sun's just coming up, and he's out. He doesn't eat breakfast, and he's running out. And he's before they even get the rock off, he's crying out to Daniel. And he's saying, Daniel, did the God that you continually serve, did he save you? Did he save you? You see, Daniel had become dear to the king because, this is kind of hard to explain, but it was because he had this joy in the Lord. You want to be around people that are happy or people that are stressed and mean and
happy.
Me too, Nate. I'd rather be around people that are happy. Do you know what? Everybody's like that. When we have the joy of the Lord, and I'm going to tell you how to have that joy later. But when you have the joy of the Lord, and I know Daniel had this, but even though it doesn't say it specifically, I know that the king was drawn to this in Daniel. Even the people that didn't know God said, the Spirit of God lives in this man. And the king, where's his joy going to come from now? See, he doesn't know God. And the people around him don't know God. This is his only access to God. He doesn't understand it, but he loves Daniel. And he knows Daniel's this guy that follows God, and he shouldn't be in that hole with the lions. And he runs out there and he cries out, Daniel, are you okay? And Daniel, he hears Daniel's voice. Can you imagine how he felt? He hears Daniel's voice. Don't worry, O king. My God has delivered me from the paw of the lion. He's delivered me from the lion. You see, God sent an angel down there with Daniel, and those lions did not touch Daniel. And the king then, you see, things operated differently in those days. The king could mediate. He could call for instant justice. And he gathered up all the bad guys that had done this. And they threw them in the hole. And you know what happened? They didn't even make it to the bottom of the hole before the lions ate them up. Because it wasn't because the lions weren't hungry or mean that he didn't eat Daniel. It was because Daniel trusted in the living God. You know why we have that story? So we can be entertained? No. So that when you face the lions, you think you're going to face lions. You think you'll ever be thrown into a lion's den? Well, not really, but figuratively. You know what that means? It'll feel like a lion's den. There'll be times in your life when you feel like you're about to get thrown in the lion's den. And when that happens, you can remember something. You can remember. There once was a man, an old man, who had not a chance to fight the lion. But he turned to God, and he cried out to God. God gave him peace. God rescued him. And then you know what happened after that? You know what happened after that? The king, who, remember this, he's the king of a wicked nation. The king turned to God and said, Daniel, what a mighty God you serve. And he began to praise and worship God. And he said, everybody should follow this God. I'm going to follow this God. One old man's faith, and it impacted the whole world. That nation was over control of the whole known world. One man's faith, an old man. He didn't have many years left. But an old man trusted God. And it changed the king, and it changed the world. And there's some ways that we can cultivate. We can learn. We can grow in that faith. And that's what we want to learn how to do today. We want to... Daniel was a different sort of guy. But we can be like that too. And so we want to learn how Daniel lived this life that he lived. And we're going to try to learn about that a little bit today. So thank you guys for paying such good attention to the story. And you can go yourself. In fact, you can go read the story. Or some of you guys, you can have it read, your parents read it to you. But you can read Daniel chapter 6. And you can learn of the faith of an old man who put his trust in God. Okay, so you guys can, I'll pray for you. Then the little ones can go back. And you other guys, you can stay right here if you want. If you want a front row seat to the rest of the message, you can stay right here. Or you can go sit wherever you want. So, should we join hands? Don't do that today? Can we join hands?
No.
Okay. That's too bad. We're going to. Will you hold her hand? Okay. Y'all hold hands. Some of you, if you will, please. Come on. You can hold my hand. Okay. Thanks, ZJ. Somebody loves me. All right. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for each one of these children. We thank you, Lord, for their desire, their natural desire that you have given them to hear from you, to know you. Pray for your blessing on them. Pray for your blessing on the little ones as they go back with Julie. You guide their time. In Jesus' name. Amen. So I don't know if you guys listened in to our story. If you didn't, then you missed the first part of the message. So you guys, on the front row, I'm glad you stayed. I appreciate that. That encourages me. But the rest of the message, it might be a little bit harder to follow than the first part, so you might have to, like, focus a little bit, if you can do it. Especially if you have a Santa Claus hat on, you can do it. So Daniel chapter 6, if you guys want to, you could look at Daniel chapter 6. So, I know, Kathleen, you want another story, but you know, I hope you have gained a little bit of a heart understanding of this man, Daniel. These first six chapters of Daniel are a narrative. They tell a story. In fact, every chapter tells a story. And it's a different story from the life of Daniel. And the tone of Daniel, the book of Daniel, changes after chapter 6. And it goes into some more prophecy-type things. But this first six chapters have been really, that's been our target as we've studied Daniel. And there's some things. Daniel is a different sort of guy. You know, Joseph was a different sort of guy. And you don't find any corrections. It's not that there was no sin in his life, certainly not. But you just don't find the kind of corrections of some people. And Daniel is one of those guys, he was a man that seemed to continually have a heart after God from the time that he was a young boy when he was taken into captivity. And there's some things that we've learned about him, and we want to review a couple of those things, but there's some things particularly that we can learn from this chapter of Daniel in the lion's den. But one of the things that we've learned about Daniel is that God reserves the work of changing men's hearts for the humble. And I don't know if you've been thinking about that, but the more I think and understand that, and it doesn't say that specifically in the book of Daniel or anywhere, but it just kind of flows out of there in other places in Scripture, that the people that God uses, it doesn't mean, it's not talking about men or people, anybody that started great organizations or even great churches, but those people, think of those people in your life that speak to your heart and that changes how you think, how you feel, your approach to God. It just, you feel like you know God more from knowing them. And those kind of people don't necessarily get famous. They don't necessarily lead great organizations. But those are the ones that God has commissioned, and they're scattered throughout the world to change the hearts of men. And you can be one of those people. You can. You trust God, and you develop and cultivate this thing of humility. And we're going to discuss how that happens. How I see it happen in Daniel's life. I see it happen in Paul's life. And we're going to talk about three specific ways that we can cultivate that. But Daniel, if you look there in chapter 3, Daniel lived this exceptional life. Now, this is not to make us feel guilty. I know how some of us sometimes can think we're in a certain mood or a certain place in life, and we can twist things that we read or things that are said. So I'm going to warn you not to twist this. You could throw a pity party and you could say, well, I'm not exceptional. I haven't done anything great. But please don't do that, because that's not the point of this. The point is to start today. Okay? It's to start today and start developing these things. But so if there's guilt or shame because of disobedience in your life, the way you handle guilt or shame is not to think how terrible you are, it's to repent. That's how you handle that. So if it comes to your mind that you've wasted your life up into this day, I doubt there's anybody in this room that's wasted their entire life, but if you feel that your life has been a waste up into this time, then you just go ahead and repent of that right now, and specific things and choices you've made, you repent of that, because it can be different. Things can be different. So this is an encouragement. Oh, okay, well, I haven't lived like that. I haven't lived like Daniel, so I'm going to throw a pity party. No, I haven't lived like Daniel, so I'm going to learn how to live like Daniel. So you ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to live like Daniel so that you can be what God has designed you to be. There's nobody else like you, and that you can be where God wants you to be. You can be who God wants you to be and where God wants you to be, and you can be fully content in that. And there's a way to go about that, and Daniel did it. You see, Daniel wasn't where he wanted to be. Did you catch that? He'd throw open the window and open the blinds and look toward Jerusalem, his home. Where do you think Daniel wanted to be? He wanted to be home. He wanted to be in Jerusalem. That's where the temple was. Things weren't exactly as he would have had them to be. They just weren't. But he still trusted God. And God used Daniel in such a mighty, mighty way. Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon, became a believer in God through this simple man, Daniel. I believe that Darius became a believer in God. How many other people did? We're just told of the kings, the great. Is there anybody like that? That has led the kings, the pagan kings, to God in such a humble fashion as Daniel? It's the life that he lived, and it's the walk that he had with God. But Daniel was, let's look quickly. Daniel was known to live an excellent life. Verse 3 of chapter 6 says, now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. He's 80 years old. And he still was sharp. And he still was making an impact, such that the king was going to set him over the affairs of the whole kingdom. Then down to verse 22. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done any wrong before you, O king. And then verse 28. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. He was innocent before God, and God blessed him. You see, he lived a different sort of life. He was where God wanted him to be, and he was who God wanted him to be. By faith, he was those things. And God used him, and God blessed him. Now, I think, you know, we've already covered Daniel and the lion's den, if you remember, when we first started, before we even knew we were going to study the book of Daniel. So that's why we're not going through verse by verse. We basically have done that. Even if you don't remember, we've done it. And we brought up this thing of this kind of the opposite, in a sense, of Daniel, that was still a godly man, was Thomas. Doubting Thomas. You remember Thomas? And you see, remember when all the disciples had gathered together and Jesus had appeared to them and shown himself to them, and Thomas wasn't there? Where was Thomas? You know, I think he was not where he was supposed to be. And then when he did see Jesus, he was doubt. He wasn't believing. He said, I'll believe when I can put my hand in your side and I can see, I can touch the wound and know that you. And Jesus says, you know, here's my hand. Go ahead. You can, my side, my hand, touch the wound. Go ahead. Whatever it takes you to have faith, Thomas. Go ahead. He had mercy and compassion towards Thomas. And Thomas could then live a different life. But you see, Thomas could go on and live like Daniel. And that's what I want us to do. That's what I want us to do. I want us to learn from this today and grow from this, that we too can impact our world for the cause of Christ. There's another point about this excellence. Excellence is going to be the result of how Daniel was living and walking. You see, let me try to give you this picture. Let's say there's a man that he's a leader in the church, and he always talks about praying and reading his Bible, and he goes and passes out tracts, and he shares the gospel. He does all this stuff, and yet one day you go to see him on his workplace, and nobody respects him. Nobody respects him because he does a poor job at work. Doesn't follow through. Gets on his computer, gets on Facebook, stays there for 3 or 4 hours at a time, and he wastes his day. Nobody respects him at work. Yet he comes, you see, all this he's talking about, praying and sharing the gospel, all that's fake. It's all fake. Because he doesn't have excellence. It's proof. It's not that it's because he's not doing a good job at work, but he would be if all this other stuff was in line. He doesn't have excellence. It's that concrete thing that you can look at. It's sort of like those qualifications we're studying as an elder. Those things are concrete. You can look at them. Now, all this spiritual stuff, it's not, some of it's a little elusive, but the result of that spiritual stuff should be concrete. So if a guy talks about reading his Bible, when he talks about praying, he talks about knowing God, then you should be able to look and say, he's excellent. He's excellent. He's doing excellent. He's doing the best that he can do with abilities that God has given him. So that was like an end result of the life that Daniel was living. So that was the first thing, characteristics. He was excellent. He had excellence. His excellence flowed out of these other things that we're going to talk about later. Daniel had a love. These are some characteristics that I've picked up of Daniel as we've gone through here. So that's what we're going to do. We want to look at Daniel, try to see what he was like, and I want to learn from that. Because I want to be more like Daniel, don't you? God's man. I want to be more like God's man, Daniel. I want to be able to face the lions when I'm 80. I want to be ready for that. He had a love for God's people. It was genuine. It was real. It was heartfelt. It was emotional. He loved God's people. Daniel loved the purposes of God in the world. You see, Daniel knew God had this purpose in the world to reveal himself to the world. And Daniel was in step with that. He was in step with revealing God to the world. It's like in Old Testament, you know, really the principles of the Old Testament don't change in the New Testament. They don't change. There's still substitution. There's still, you know, the substitute of Jesus, the substitute on the cross. There's still faith. There's still obedience. There's still all these things. And you see, Daniel was in step with the purpose of God. The purpose of God today is to go and make disciples. That is God's purpose in the world, to reveal himself to the world and to be honored and glorified through the making of disciples. In this day, it was a little different, but Daniel was in step with God, the purpose of God for God's people, Israel, and in step with bringing glory to his name. And you see, that was part of his motivation in loving the king, was to bring glory to God. It's supernatural. Okay, it was a supernatural love for God's people. It came from God. A supernatural love for people that didn't know God. He wasn't afraid, and we talked about this before, this balance that Daniel had. He loved God's people. He was engaged in God's people. Think about his love for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his partners. You know, these guys, they were in step with him, and they had God's purposes in mind too. But he loved the purposes of God. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son to die. That, for those that didn't believe, that didn't know him. You see, so King Nebuchadnezzar didn't know God yet, but Daniel loved him. He wasn't afraid of the world. He loved the world, but he didn't defile himself with the king's meat. You see, he knew where to draw the lines. He knew where to draw the lines, but he still loved, and the king loved him. He had that. Do you have non-believing friends that you love and that love you, but yet you're still not eating the meat, the defiled meat? You know what I'm saying? That's where Daniel was. He loved the king and the king after him, the next king. He did not defile himself with the king's meat, but he knew where to draw lines. He wasn't best friends with Belshazzar. This guy who was mocking God, who was on a fast track of evil, he said, okay, Belshazzar, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to speak the truth. It's going to be hard. You don't want to hear it. I care what happens, and I'm going to speak the truth, but I'm not running with you. You see, he knew where to draw the lines. But he loved God's people, and he loved people that were not God's people. And he was friends. He was friends with them. He had love for the person of God. He had love for the person of God. He knew God. Those that know their God will be strong and do exploits. I think Daniel falls into that class, don't you? Daniel knew God. He knew him. That astonishes me, that here's this guy. Maybe I'm more impressed now with the 80-year-old, now that I'm getting a little older. Not near 80 yet, but I'm getting a little older, and I know how things change when you get a little older. I know how you used to could run on 3 hours of sleep and everything's cool. And then maybe you're starting to need a little more, and maybe things don't work quite as well as they used to, and you don't have the energy you used to have. And that, I'm sure that grows as you get a little older. Here's Daniel in his 80s, leading, put in charge of all this stuff. And he got away 3 times a day to take a nap. To pray. Praying is an energy-sapping thing and energy-giving thing. 3 times a day, he would go and pray. He knew God, and he wanted to know him more. Daniel, these are now, we're just touching on the characteristics of Daniel, okay? And then we're going to talk about How do we cultivate those things? He had humility. We've talked about this so much. But Daniel had a clear view of God. He had a clear view of himself. He wasn't beating himself up, and he wasn't elevating himself. He just knew where he stood with God. You know, the thing that struck, he had this wisdom that was like, you know, when I feel weak sometimes, it's just I get discouraged. You know, Daniel, here's the king. He has this dream. He doesn't tell Daniel what the dream is, and he wants to know the dream, wants to know the interpretation of the dream. And Daniel could have gone, God, what do you think you're doing? What are you doing with me? How do I know that? And he turns around and says, God, how can I? I don't know this, God. I can't do this thing. I can't. But I know you can. Give me what I need. God, give me what I need. God answered his prayer. God answered his prayer. That's the kind of wisdom that Daniel had. He had a desire for God's glory. Because, you see, Daniel accomplished that. He had a desire for God's glory. And the king sent this letter through the whole nation. It happened twice with two different kings. That the God of Daniel would be worshipped and honored. He had this desire for God's glory, not his own. Not the kingdom, not even God's people. He had a desire for God's glory. He had a love for the word. You're going to see this over and over. You're going to see it in the next chapters we get into. He had discipline and resolve. Now, I hope you're starting to track with me. Think back to excellence. You have discipline with God, you have a spirit-endowed discipline that's going to show up in other places. He had resolve. Don't you kind of like that word? It says in chapter 1, that's one of the first things we learned about 15, 14-year-old Daniel. Daniel had resolve, and he said, I'm not eating the king's meat. A teenager facing the king of Babylon, not eating the king's meat. Test me. I'm going to follow God's principles, and it's going to turn out right. He had resolve. I'm going to do things God's way. I'm going to follow the principles of God. Can you see how that would work with your finances? Oh, no, I'm going to follow God's way. I'm going to give. I'm going to give what God's instructed me to give. I'm not going to borrow all this money. I'm going to do things God's way. I have resolve, and it's going to turn out okay. Because I'm going to do things God's way, not man's way. He had discipline. Pray three times a day. You recognize, I'm sure you do, you recognize the discipline that would take from Daniel to go and pray three times a day? That wasn't religiosity. We have proof that it was not religiosity. This was not Daniel going through the motions. This was Daniel praying. Three times a day. That took discipline and it took resolve to do that. Daniel had courage. Now, we're not explaining all these things as we go through this list, but it's obvious. You can see from the things we've talked about where his courage came from. Daniel had courage. He was not a fearful man. Daniel had faith. When all was said and done at the end of the day, no matter what came, come lion or come purple robe, Daniel had faith. He was trusting in God. No matter what came his way. Have you resolved that you're going to have faith no matter what comes your way before it even comes? No, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. You see, these things were not theory. How do I know they weren't theory? Daniel had excellence. You know, he was respected. He was where he should be, doing what he should be doing, and he was who he should be. Because of these other things. You see, there are three principles that I believe that Daniel's life was ordered around. And you guys that were there, the few of you that were there on Friday morning are going to recognize these. As I began to read through Daniel chapter 6, I began to go, Daniel is living by those principles we just discussed. Now I look through the rest of Daniel, I think all the stuff we studied, Daniel's living by these principles that we talked about on Friday morning. These principles, they really, in one sense, they come out of Philippians. They come out of the New Testament. But it's like God's principles is so cool. God's principles do not change, because we already discussed that. The principles of think about it, the principle of substitution, of the innocent dying for the guilty, of that the death is the payment for sin, of forgiveness, of grace, of faith, obedience. Those are principles that are Old Testament, New Testament. They may look different. They may work out a little different, but the principle is the same. And so I believe Daniel's life was ordered around these three principles that we're going to discuss. I see them everywhere. And the first time I heard these, I heard them on a sermon on the radio, and I didn't hear them connected with Daniel or all these other things we're talking about. That's all I remember, those three words, and things started connecting and clicking after that. But the three, and they're organized with three P's, so you can remember them. But I believe that the courage, the faith, the humility that flowed out of Daniel was because he was living by these principles. And we've already discussed some of them, but these are foundational. That Daniel had a love for the people of God, and he found his joy. We're going to connect joy to each one of these. And remember when I asked the kids, who would you rather be around? Happy person or a miserable person? A grumpy person or a happy person? A person that looks at everything on the negative or a happy person? A person that is throwing a pity party or a person that is humbly happy? And all of us, I believe, do we need to adjust the temperature? Oh, you're good. That's all right. That's okay. But you're forever recorded now leaving. So never mind on that closing. Does anybody want to do the closing song? You see, Daniel had a love and a joy supernaturally. It took place with God's people. He had a love for the purposes of God. Something supernatural happens when he connects with us. And he had a love for the person of God. And there's joy that flowed out of these things. We have a few more minutes. Are you guys still with me? Do you want to? All right. All right, so we're about to wrap it up, but I don't want to lose you at the end here because there's some application that I believe is really important for you. You have an assignment this week that has to do with developing the character of Daniel in your life and making a difference in the world, being who God called you to be and being where God called you to be. And I think if you follow these three principles, I believe that will put you on the road to doing that. So let's look at these. You see, there's a supernatural joy in all of these. When you develop, when you cultivate that joy that we're going to learn how to do really quick, when you cultivate that joy, people are going to be drawn to that joy. And when they get there, you know what I mean? When I get there, when they see you, when they know you, when they are friends with you and they develop a relationship with you because they are drawn to you, because you've lived by these principles, it won't just be a happiness. They won't be disappointed because they'll see the character of Daniel in you. And they'll be drawn then to God. This happened. Disciple-making works like this. This is how it works. It requires something of you. So, this love for the people of God, let's look at Daniel had this. So, it's like foundational to this whole book of Daniel, but it's also foundational to the New Testament. Let's go to Philippians 1:3. One, 3-8. I want you to look at this. See, this is, first I want you to recognize, this is supernatural. This joy that Paul gets here from partnership. There's a joy that spills out of that. It's supernatural. In the same way, we're going to look at this. Maybe this will help you see this more clearly. There's a supernatural joy that you get from having the desires of God. When I've experienced this, that when my desires truly are aligned, when I'm pursuing God's purposes in the world, God's purposes in the church, God's purposes in my life, when I'm pursuing that, and I may have a burden, like I may be praying for someone that doesn't know God, or praying for someone intensely to come to know Him, reaching out to them, hoping that they will turn to God, praying they will turn to God. There's a weight to that, but that's when I'm the happiest. That's when I'm in step with God's purpose in the world, God's purpose in my life. My desires are not what I can do to have fun, what I can do for my family, what I can do for recreation, or how I can get this perfect situation in my life. When my desires and my daily thing is the pursuit of the purposes of God, something happens inside of me, and I do not know how to explain it. It's the way God made us. When we're in step with Him, joy is the end result. When you are in step, when you have the purposes of God, when you love the person, when you cultivate your joy out of the purposes of God. The same thing as Paul is doing here. He's going to talk about this love he has, this joy that he has in the fellowship of the believers. And I'm not just talking about, Paul's not just talking about going and just having, you know, coffee and cookies. That's good. I'm saying that's good. But when you have a partnership, when this person's purpose is the purpose of God, your purpose is the purpose of God, you meet up somewhere along the way and you're running side by side, something happens. Whoa. There's a joy in that. It is supernatural. It's just like there's no reason I should have joy from taking on the purpose of God. I should have joy from pursuing my own purposes, shouldn't I? See, God turns things upside down. That's not how He works. So these are the principles that Daniel was operating off of. That's what God used him. That's the humility. That's the joy. So let's read this and think of that as we read through this. Verse 3, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of the partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Do you catch the joy in there of partnership? It's supernatural. There's no human reason that should really happen like that. It's supernatural. We are to cultivate partnerships for the purposes of God, and joy will come out of that. Next, love for the purposes of God. Philippians 1:18. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. I rejoice when God's purposes are accomplished in the world. Why should I care? Really? Why should I care? I'm about myself. Why should I care? That should make me happy, caring about myself and my purposes. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Joy comes from caring about the purposes of God. He made you that way. He made you that way. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, he says. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. Sounds like Daniel. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death, for me to live is Christ. To die is gain. That is a joyful man. He's got his joy from some supernatural joy. And it comes from joy out of his partnership. It comes from joy out of having the purposes of God at his heart. You see, this is why we love that person, and we don't condemn that person that's not living for God.
It's because we love them. We don't condemn them. So we reach out to them. We show them the grace and the mercy of God. And something happens. We get joy from that because that's the purpose of God in their life. And you know what happens to them?
If they have any desire for God, they begin to love them better. If they have no desire, they're Belshazzar. They run. If it's true, it's true.
There's real love of God.
If there's real joy. And that person will turn to God. As Nebuchadnezzar. I believe as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I believe as many did that were in the life of Daniel and the life of Paul.
So, we cultivate a joy in our partnerships, a joy in having the purposes of God at the core of my life. There's a joy that comes from that. You could take all this from me, and you could take disciple-making, relationship building, you could take all that from me and say, Steve, go do whatever you want. And for a minute, I would go, woohoo! I'm going to go have some adventure. I'm going to go. You know how long I would get joy for you? I know myself. I would be happy. I would like it for not 3 days, about 2 days. I would like it. And then, where's my joy? This doesn't connect the gaps. Only God can do that. And when God does it, I'm about His purposes. The next is a love for the person of God. Philippians 3:7. Oh, by the way, before you, now you go out tomorrow and you start investing your life in others and all of a sudden it costs you everything. Let me give you a little warning here first. Let's go to 2:17-18. Philippians 2:17-18. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. So no matter the cost that it cost him to take on, to love the purposes of God, he still was rejoicing. Because it's supernatural. God has made it that way. Then we go on, and this is the key one, is Philippians 3:7. And this is to cultivate our joy in the person of God. See, these other two are different. You understand that, right? They're connected, obviously. They're all really connected. The purpose of God is obviously connected to the person of God and the partnerships, but it's different. This is truly an intimate connection with the person of God. And this is what I see Daniel doing. Where did Daniel run? He didn't run to his friends when he had to interpret the dream. He didn't run to his friends when he heard about the lion's den. He ran to God. That's who he knew. 3:7. This is Paul. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes through the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attain to the resurrection from the dead, a new life in Christ. I believe these three principles are what led to a life well lived by Daniel. That he cultivated a love for the partnerships, the purpose, and the person of God, and he cultivated joy in those things. And that's the element I want you to understand, is how do you cultivate joy in those things. So here's what I would like. This is your assignment for the week. And I will check in with you next Sunday. This is your assignment. You know, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I still will just check in with you here when we gather next week. I want you to read this. You have some reading assignments and some other assignments. So at some point during the week, I'd like for you to read through just one or more but one of the first six chapters of Daniel. This is on your bulletin, so you guys see your assignment there. I know that you'll forget when you walk out the door. So take your bulletin with you. Read through one of those six chapters, the first six chapters of Daniel. And then read through, you don't have to do it in one sitting, but you can. This is your week's worth of reading if you want to. You can use this for your quiet time this week. Well, I don't have quiet time. Well, good time to start. Then read through Philippians. And you look for a description of the joy in those three P's. Okay? You make note of everywhere you find a reference to cultivating joy in the people of God or partners, the purposes of God, and the person of God. Just make a note. Every time there's a reference to rejoicing in, cultivating joy in, or love in those things. And then, when you've done that reading, you decide, how can you cultivate joy in each one of these arenas? How can you cultivate joy in your partnership? Be specific. And how can you cultivate joy in the purposes of God? That is, like, that's, for instance, building a relationship with someone. That's taking on the call of gospel sharing, of disciple making, at whatever level, just a preliminary level of investing your life in someone. What specific steps do you need to take? So, let me just give you some hints here. It's pretty obvious, but to cultivate a relationship with God or to take on the purposes of God, that's going to take some reading of the Word to understand, reiterate their purposes. It's going to take some prayer. So, Daniel, we know, we saw how he cultivated this, right? It's so obvious. The three times a day he prayed. So, I'm not saying that I'm not going to put the law on you. You must go pray three times a day. It must be at 7 o'clock, at 12 o'clock. We're not going to do that. But I will say, it just makes sense that you would set aside a specific time. That's what Daniel did. Do you want to live the life? Do you want to have the impact on the world that Daniel had? Would you like to be a person that can change the hearts of men, of kings or servants? You see, if you have the purposes of God at your core, you will want to do those things. You will want to. And then when you start to do it, you'll find joy in it. And you'll say, I'll never go back to that other stuff. I'm trying to get my joy from those other things because they're shallow. So specifically, what steps do you need to take to cultivate those things? And then I want you to start watching for this. This will happen quickly. Okay? I'm not saying you'll gain maturity quickly. That takes a while. But you will start to see this in your life. I'll tell you, if you don't believe me in these things, if you say you just don't follow through on this, no, I'm going to pursue my, you may not say this in words, I'm going to pursue my fulfillment through my career, through my family, through whatever else, through fast cars, through getting in shape, through material thing, whatever. You'll never be fulfilled. And you won't have the joy of the Lord. So, if you do these things, you begin to do these things, then start looking for the development of the character of Daniel in your life. You know that it's not a prideful thing to begin to recognize humility in your life? You can do that. It's possible. You can begin to say, wow. You can do something and have great results, and your emotion can be, God, thank you. Well, how did you do that? Thank you, God. You told me that dream of the king, and how could I know that? Wow, that was awesome. And you get the joy, and he gets the glory. That's how God works. That's how he works. So you start to look for the character of Daniel showing up in your life. But you see, it takes some resolve. Yeah, it takes some steps. You need to take some steps. If these things are not in your life, how can you expect to be developing the character of Daniel? How can you expect to face the lions? You see, Daniel didn't prepare for those lions the day before. As soon as he heard about the lions, he ran to his room and he prayed. But he was preparing for those lions, the way I figure it, 65 years. 65 years he was preparing to go in the lion's den. Yeah, he found about it the day before and he went and prayed, but his whole life was preparing to face the lions. It would have been a horrible scene if he had prepared. Are you preparing to face the lions? Or even, are you preparing to face being put in a top position? Both are pretty challenging. And are you preparing to tumble from your top position? It happens. It happened to Daniel many times. But he was steadfast because he had put his trust in God. But the verse that Caleb read. So, there's your assignment for the week. It's all written out for you. Does anybody want to lead us in song? No volunteers? Then we can pray. Sam, would you mind closing us in prayer? Would you?